Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to go there together in just a moment. So if you would get yourself prepared for that, I'd appreciate it. I want to tell you this morning that it was not that many weeks ago. Thank you, Tom. It was not that many weeks ago, standing right here praying before a Sunday morning service, as we do every Sunday, and you're invited to be a part of that if you'd like to come and make yourself home in that. But the second week of November, 13th of November, as I was walking through this sanctuary and praying, I got to right about here, and I was facing this way, and God just stopped me in my tracks. And He spoke to me very clearly. As clearly as I can understand God's voice being spoken into me. It was not an audible voice. I didn't hear it from heaven out loud, but it was as loud as I can think of something being spoken into me. God said, "This is the year of the double portion." And he made that very clear to me that was for our church. You say, "Well, what is that, Pastor?" I'm going to tell you that you can look this up. It's 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, Romans. You can look that up, that it's what we call a prophetic word, a word that God gave, a word from God to man for the benefit of God and His kingdom to man. So I'm speaking that to you today saying I am convinced beyond any reasonable doubt that God spoke to me that day and said 2012 will be the year of the double portion for this congregation. Now, that should excite you just simply out of the fact that, you know, double anything's pretty good. I like seconds. Anybody? If it's good food. And I certainly like doubling things that I have, especially if it's good stuff. And so there lies in right there the problem of the equation, right? That we want to make sure we're doubling, that God's giving in double proportion, whatever that means, to us in things that matter, not just for our today, but for our eternity. And I want to say to you, you say, "Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Double portion? Double portion of what? What are we doubling?" I'm not sure that I have a complete answer to that. What I can tell you is that at that same moment, God gave me a sermon series, literally in about 20 seconds. It was like this really weird, I don't know, you know, Matrix thing going on or something. And suddenly, 6 weeks of sermons are in my mind. It's stuff that I know, that I've read, so it's not like I just have this incredible thing I've never heard before, but I want to tell you that I'm excited about what I'm going to share with you. I'm a little bit, I told my wife last night, there's a little nervousness in me because, which is not normal. I don't mind public speaking at all, but when you get up and say, "Hey, by the way, God gave me a word for the next year of our life," you know, it's pretty easy just to say to someone, "Well, hey, I think God's saying this to you, and maybe you should think about this." But when He says, "This is the next year," and everybody goes, "Oh, I'm excited about the next year," you know, it makes you stop for just a second and say, "Okay, am I clear that I've heard?" Not because it's some bad thing, but because, you know, clearly we want to, if it's truth, and I believe it is, then not only do I want to respond appropriately to it, but I want our church to respond appropriately to it. And say, "God, if I can have double of something, then I'm going to go after it." After all, if today I got up and said to you that I knew this year that Apple stock was going to double, and there was no doubt in my mind, and I could guarantee you that it was going to happen, how many of you would want to invest something? Anyone? Probably going to, by the way, just... Everybody's buying iPods and all that stuff, but that's not a word from God. But if I could tell you that, it would be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? And any of us, if I said, 5 will get you 10, I mean, that's just a pretty good deal. And I'm going to tell you this morning, though, that I believe that to the measure and extent that we will walk in obedience, be willing to sacrifice, walk in step with the kingdom of God, read the Word and respond to it, I'm telling you that God's going to pour out in full measure something that you have never imagined before. That there will be miracles beyond what you could possibly have comprehended in your own life and the life of this church. Finances are going to turn around. Families are going to be restored. There's going to be just amazing things as we look out over this congregation. There's going to be more people. There's going to be more things going on in your lives. There's going to be testimonies. People are going to get up and say, Pastor, you just never believe. I was on this course to do this, and it happened in half the time. I was trying to make this happen, and God gave me twice as much as I could have ever imagined. I thought my family was going down the tubes forever, and we're more in love with each other than we've ever been before. My kids look like they were in ultimate rebellion, walking away from Christ, and today they're serving Him. It's a miracle. And anybody want to invest in that? Again, if you just hear motivational speaking, then you're not listening, because I'm telling you, this is just from my heart to you. Your pastor stood right here, heard something from God, and it's my job to tell you what I heard. And then also say to you over the next 6 weeks, please listen to the rest of the story, because everybody wants twice as much of something good. But sometimes we're not willing to do what it requires to get it. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, the New Year's resolution, boy, I'll just read the Bible in 3 days. I'll get all the way through it. That's not going to happen. Any more will it happen than you say, well, I think I'll just lose 40 pounds in this next 10 days. Well, that's not going to happen either, aside from liposuction. You know, and God can do some of those things, and you're going to see that God can do and will do some of those things miraculously, where He will set people free from things that have been bound to them for years and years and decades maybe, and He will release you from them in just moments. However, I want to remind you that these things come at some sort of a price. That price is not always painful necessarily, but it takes listening and being committed to what we're hearing and doing what God's telling us to do. So I want to just make sure that you understand, I'm not going to give you a list. Do these five things and you will double proportion yourself. I'm going to give you what God spoke to me about this in these messages, and you're going to have to work out for yourself what God's speaking to you through that and how you're supposed to respond. And I believe in you. I believe in this church, and I believe you're going to respond appropriately as you do, that we're going to see not just a few families seeing miraculous things, but we're going to begin to see an entire body seeing miraculous things. And as that happens, the community will be impacted, and it's going to be a powerful year. It'd be a good time to say, wow, that's great, Pastor. That's very exciting. You're crazy people, I tell you. So if you could see a double portion of blessing in your life, family, kids, marriage, finances, health, if you could see a double proportion come this year in some area of your life, what would it be? Will you just take a pen right now and write it down? Just somewhere on your bulletin or in your Bible or something. If you could see God do something miraculous this year, twice as much as you could have ever imagined, He does in your life, abundantly, exceedingly above what you could have ever comprehended, what would it be? What would those areas be? You know, some of you are going to write down, and maybe you're sitting beside your spouse, you don't want to write it down, but you're writing, I would love to have twice the marriage that I have right now. Not two wives. I didn't say that. Because we know that would be a nightmare, wouldn't it, John? So with two husbands, I mean, it's, you know, works both ways. Twice the marriage. If you could have twice the marriage next year you just say, God, that would be awesome. You know, financial pictures turned around. Health, you say, man, if I could be twice as healthy as I am today by doing what God's called me to do and being faithful to it, would that be an awesome miracle? Just write those couple things down. I think that's really important. Because I want to ask you this question before we move on in this regard. What would you be willing to sow into those areas to see a supernatural return? So you just wrote some things down, and I'm asking you the question. What would you be willing to sow into those areas to see a supernatural return or harvest? You wrote down your family or your health or your kids or your finances or your whatever. What would you be willing to sow into those areas? What would you as a person be willing to... You don't have to answer that question right now. I want you to think about this. What if you knew that you could have twice the whatever it is, double proportion in a God-sized, you know, it's that supersize in God's terms, right? If you could supersize it, not for 39 cents, but for something that God's calling you to do, and all you had to do was be faithful in it, what would you be willing to sow? Isn't it interesting in our lives how when given some opportunities, you know, like that, what would you be willing to give to go from this size bowl of ice cream to this size bowl of ice cream? And you know, isn't it funny? Anybody been to the movies recently at all? I mean, just in the last 3-6 months, anybody been to the movies? You can actually be saved and go to the movies, folks. Lift your hands up. Good night. You know what? Liars are the people that go to hell, not the people who go to movies sometimes. Good grief. No, I don't ever do that, Pastor. I don't know. You did. See? Mama of the church, she did. You go into the movie theater, and what do they say to you? For 50 cents more, you can get a large popcorn or a large drink. For $1 more, you can upsize that combo to the jumbo-sized popcorn that not three people couldn't eat in one movie if they tried to. But how many people, come on, when they say it, it's all you can do. You got it, 50 cents, man, I'm in. Come on, raise your hand, how many are in, 50 cents. Because why not, man, they're telling you the greatest deal on the face of the planet, 50 cents, I'm in. Double of every, something's got to be better, it's got to be good. That's our society, but I'm telling you what, double in the kingdom of God is powerful. And when God decides to do something where you think, I took one step, and God says, I can take your one step and make it two, I can make it 10, I can make it 100. I'm telling you what, the end of this year, 2012, if you don't look back and say, God, you took me from 1 to 2 to 1 to 100, and you don't get a little excited about that, then you are not breathing. Because God wants to do some powerful things. I'm telling you this morning, as we get ready to walk through this, if you will really truly pay attention to what I believe God's speaking to us, I feel like this is so strong in my life right now from God that I have to give this to you, and I would just appreciate it if you would really, really pay attention and hear what God might be speaking to you this morning, because it could be literally life-changing beyond what you could have ever possibly imagined. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 11. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture here and move through it pretty quickly. I need to tell you the whole story so that we can get to the place where I'm going to be this morning. I will tell you that we will be in this passage of scripture the entire time over the next 6 weeks, and I'll be taking pieces of it and not reading the whole thing every time. So let's read together. 1 Kings 19, starting verse 11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel. Because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. Listen to this verse. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life as well. Verse 15, then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael as king of Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king of Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he's saying to him, you are not alone. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. He said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned from him, took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Flip over, if you would, to 2 Kings, just a couple of chapters later. 2 Kings, the second chapter. We're going to catch up with the story of Elisha and Elijah together on a road. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. You see up here in front of you, the first place, Gilgal. The second place, Bethel. Elijah said to him, verse 3. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you not know that the Lord will take your master away from you today? He said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as surely as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? And he answered to him, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as surely as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. Elisha said to him, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be for you, so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Look back at verse 10 of chapter 2 and Elijah's response to Elisha. When he says this to him, he says, I would like a double portion of your spirit to be upon me. And Elijah's response to him is, you have asked for a very hard thing. I want to tell you that the mantle of the prophet in this period of time in history was a big deal. It not only represented the power and glory of God, but it actually was only placed upon one of the prophets. There were many prophets in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, they had started what they called the school of prophets. Now, there was not only just one school of prophets, there were actually many schools of prophets. We know that the schools of prophets existed at least two and probably three of these places and some other places around as they were traveling. But Elijah was the only one who had what was considered the mantle of the prophet of God. And it was placed on him. Now remember that back in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, we see this little story between Elijah and Elisha where God says to Elijah, go and place your mantle upon Elisha. So that passing of the prophetic authority, that passing of the mantle, it wasn't just about giving someone your cloak. It wasn't just here, I got some old used clothes, you know, why don't you wear it for a little while? From what I understand, I'm going to be whirled up into heaven in a chariot of fire and I probably don't need clothes there. You know, it wasn't just getting rid of some clothes. It was this mantle that was the problem. And specifically, God had already told him to give him the mantle, but he says to him, I don't even want the mantle. He didn't even say anything about the mantle when he was by the door. And he said, I want a double portion of your, not mantle, spirit. And he says, if you see what's going to happen to me, then it will be so for you. But it's, you're asking a very hard thing. The prophetic anointing of God is just a lot like the promises of God. If you can understand one, you can probably pretty much understand the other. That they usually come with a price. In other words, there's usually an if and then clause in the promises of God. If it's not, if it doesn't come with an if and then clause, then it's what we call favor, undeserved mercy and unmerited grace. When God just gives us something for no reason, it's called favor. When he just hands it to us, you say, well, why did I get this? How did I deserve this? Why did this happen in my life? It's called favor. But when the promises of God that are deliberated in the Bible, things like, if my people, hear the if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and pray to heaven, I will then hear from them, hear from heaven, and restore their land. It's the if and then clauses of promises of God. For instance, I'll give you a few others. Children, obey your parents. Then what? You will have, it's the only commandment with a promise. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and it comes with a promise. Children, obey your parents. There's a if. If you will obey your parents, then you will have a long life. Come to me, all who are burdened, Jesus says in Matthew, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me. What do you have to do? Well, see, sometimes it's not that hard. Man, obedience can be hard. Even acknowledging our wickedness and our turning from our ways and doing things that we shouldn't be doing, all that stuff can be hard sometimes. But this one, Jesus says, this promise is pretty cool. He says, come to me if you are struggling, if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden, if you've got problems in your life that you can't handle, come to me. And then what happens? He says, I'll give you rest. I like that promise. That's a good promise. Listen to this promise that's found in Proverbs 1:33. But all who listen to me, so what's the if? If you will, listen to me. But all those who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by any harm. Anybody like that? All those who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by any harm. So the double portion is something worth having. It's something that we should be that should be sought out. It should be something that we would say, God, I want to have this. I want to have your promises. I want to have your spirit in my life. I want to see your hand move in my life in a powerful way. And so let's jump back to chapter 19 and just remember how this thing got started related to what I'm talking about today. 1 Kings 19 and verse 19. Says he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. He said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? In other words, dude, seriously? That's what it says in the modern day version. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment, gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose to the followers of Elijah and became his servant. I want to tell you, I have a goal in the next 6 weeks, and it really is to help you understand that God can do something powerful in your life. And that this year, if you will be faithful to commit, did you hear the if? If we will be faithful to commit to him those things that he's calling us to do, then God will answer. And if the double portion is worth going after, then it's important for us to find out what it's going to take to get it. And so you have Elijah and Elisha. Elisha says, I want a double portion. Elijah says, you can have it if you see what happens. Then he saw what happened and he got the mantle and the double portion. And literally a double portion. Elisha performed twice as many miracles, literally to the number of what Elijah did. So here's the story. Elijah walks up. He throws his mantle on him. And there's this scene that happens. Can you imagine it? This is not like Star Wars, guys, where, you know, you are my new Padawan learner, you're going to become a Jedi. This is way beyond that. This is a guy sitting in the middle of a field plowing, and the prophet of God, who frankly would make everybody nervous as they walked in. We see that throughout the Bible. They were nervous when Samuel came, when he came. They always want to know, are you coming in peace? And so Elijah comes in and he throws his mantle. You have to understand the scene. He takes this mantle, and it would have been something that literally covered all the way down to the ground. He takes this mantle and he throws it on top of Elisha. And there's this monumental moment. And can you go there with me? It's like, da, 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 da. And you got all these things going on. And here's the, and everybody, and Elisha goes, can I go kiss my mother and father first? I'm telling you, that's when Elijah said, dude, seriously? I mean, it's the same thing when Jesus comes and the guy says, what do I have to do to follow you? And he says, but my father's mother, whoever it was, just died. And he says, let the dead bury themselves. And the guy's like, no, I don't know. And Jesus in his head went, dude, seriously? He goes to the guys in the fishermen, right? What does he say to them? Drop your nets. Come on. Isn't that awesome when they just jump? I mean, you know, granted, I'm sure a couple of them were like, I'm sick of fishing anyway. They jump out of the boat and they just go follow the guy. But, you know, it took a big step, didn't it? And you can understand Elijah's perspective here. I mean, you can understand it. Elisha's going, I mean, you know, can I say goodbye to somebody? Or you just come up and throw a mantle on me? Like, was I ready for that? Don't you think I should have an opportunity? So I love how he responds. Because his first response is, I need to go kiss my mother and father, and Elijah says to him in the new translated version, dude, seriously? And then Elisha, what's he do? Next verse. He turned back from him. He took a yoke of oxen. He slaughtered them and boiled their flesh and fed it to everybody. So let's look at a couple things. First of all, this idea of being faithful. I love this because this is like the baseline for the year of double portion. It's like, be consistent. Be faithful. See, the Bible says that Elisha was on, along with everybody else, he was with 12 yoke of oxen. And you know what it says? He was the 12th. Hello? He was the 12th. It's like David. Nah, none of you are supposed to be kings. You got anybody else? Well, there's the little guy out in the field. He's just watching the sheep, though. And he comes up and he goes, it's you. He pours the water. It's like Moses sitting in the desert minding his own business. The fire starts burning on the bush and he comes up and he's like, what? I can't even talk without stuttering. How am I supposed to go do what you're called? You know, it's like being Gideon. The Bible says he was the least of the least tribe of the least, and God comes to him and speaks to him. Why do you think he had to go throw the fleece out there a couple different times? Because he goes, God, do you not understand my position in life here? And you have the same thing here with Elisha. Isn't it amazing when we're just faithful? Who was Mary? Only the mother of God. But who was Mary first? Just a faithful young lady. See, there's something about just being consistent and being faithful that the Bible says, if you will humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, in your due season, He will raise you up. I love the fact that we can start this year by just saying, God, I don't have to do anything to earn something from you. All I have to do is be faithful. Be consistent. God doesn't care if you're the 12th of the 12th. He doesn't care if you're the last or the least. or the first, or if you have money or don't have money. He doesn't care. God's always looking inside of our hearts to see who He can do something powerful in. He wants to know, will you be faithful? Will you be consistent? Will you be the same person afterwards as you were before? God can't use some people because He knows as soon as He gives you fame, it's going to go to your head. And next thing you know, you're going to be out doing stupid things, preaching on Sunday morning and doing drugs the next day because you can't handle it. You know, we see this a lot. So what's the idea here? Be faithful. Be consistent. Let God raise us up. Approach Him in humbleness, humility. Elijah himself even said, everybody's dying around me. I'm the only one. God comes to him and says, you're not the only one. Don't be so egotistical. You're not the only guy out there fighting on behalf of the kingdom of God. His name was Noah. There's 7,000. Abraham couldn't find 10. He says, oh, I got 7,000 who have never one time bowed to Baal or kissed his feet. Right? And so he says, if you just be consistent, if you'll just be faithful, that's what God spoke to Elijah when he was on the side of the mountain. If you'll just be faithful, just go do what I've asked you to do. Just be consistent in your life before me and I'll take care of it all. I'll raise you up. So look at verse 20. Elisha says, let me go back and kiss my father and mother. Elijah says, go back. What have I done to you? Can I tell you the greatest temptation in life is to delay what God is trying to do in you today. The greatest temptation in life is to delay what God is trying to do to you in you today. I'm telling you the truth. We hear from God and He's speaking into our spirit and we're feeling the sense that we need to change or do something different. And we start negotiating with God. Well, God, if I can just do that one more time. If I could just go have this one more moment. If I could just see this happen and I know that I'm supposed to get out of that job, but God, you don't understand. If I quit that job, I won't have any money. God, I know that I'm supposed to treat my kids differently, but you don't understand what they're doing to me. God, I know I should quit this addiction or I should be out of this behavior, but if you just, can I just have one more day? Greatest temptation in life is to delay today what God is trying to do inside of you. So just give me another moment. Because I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God's speaking to us, when He's dealing with us somewhere inside of us on something that's going on, if we will respond to Him in that moment, it is powerful. Because the Bible tells us we're not sure that He's going to speak to us again. That's what the Bible says. We can only come to Him on His terms. When He reveals Himself to us. When He makes a way inside of us. And every time, I believe this with all my heart, every time God speaks into our heart something and we decide not to do it, it's one more layer. It puts up one more boundary. Puts up one more bridge that we can't cross. That we don't remember, the next time we don't hear His voice as strongly, and the next time we don't hear it as strong, and pretty soon, even though God might be yelling at the top of His lungs, we've got such stuff around us now that because we just haven't responded. And so, let me tell you, the greatest temptation is to delay what God's doing inside of you today. What did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. Follow me. Sell everything today. Follow me. Drop your nets now. Follow me. The delay in this case cost Elisha the mantle for a season. Did you know that? See, if you read this, you'll understand that he threw his mantle on him. But the next thing we see is at the river, the mantle falling off of Elijah down back to Elisha from heaven. He wasn't wearing the mantle. Matter of fact, that moment of delay didn't cost him his anointing. It didn't cost him his ministry. It didn't cost him his long term, but it delayed him getting the mantle. And so sometimes we have to be careful with how we approach God. And just like Joshua, when Joshua says to the nation of Israel, make your decision today. Today, I'm making my decision today. As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Now you make your decision today. Today is your day to make your decision. And I'm telling you, related to what I'm going to talk about just in 1 second here, we're going to finish, is we have to be ready to say, God, okay, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be consistent. I know I'm going to be tempted. Just know that right now. You're going to be tempted to say, I want to walk out of the doors and go get lunch. I'm going to be tempted to say, well, I'll deal with that tomorrow. I'll deal with that next week. God, if you just give me a little more time, I can work that out. I know that I can fix this on my own if I just have enough time, energy, money, resources, whatever the case may be. And I'm telling you that temptation is going to come even this morning. This third thought is this: obedience is better than sacrifice. Elisha had to get rid of three things before he could move on in his life. And they were called these: the yoke, the plow, and the ox. Three things had to go out of his life before he could move on: the yoke, the plow, and the ox. Because the first thing he did is he said, hold on, I got to go kiss my mom. And he realized how dumb that was. Then he went, I got to change the way I'm looking at this thing. And he decides that I better take care of three things in my life. So the first thing he does is he takes care of the yoke. And what do we call the yoke? The yoke of bondage. Listen, that's what the very, very word stands for, this idea of yoking together, putting together. Now, in marriages, that yoke can be a good yoke. But in life, when we are bound to things that trip us up, that keep us far from God, when we get bound to things in our life that have nothing to do with our relationship with Christ, then it is bondage. When we have, whether it's addictions and things in our life, or whether it's behaviors, whether it's irrational things in our emotions, whether it's fear or anger or frustration or anything that gets inside of us, unforgiveness that gets inside of us, that binds us, that suddenly we feel like, I can't get free of this. Every time I look at trying to go this way, I can feel the big ball and chain on my foot that says, I can't get free of it. And I want to tell you, that moment had to come for him, because he did not burn two oxen, he burned one. And he had a pair of them. And to unpair them, he had to take the yoke off. It's the only way it works. And so he had to take the yoke off. That was the first step for him, because it was a big deal. What he was going to do was a big deal. I'm going to show you how. So church, this morning, I'm telling you, if you're bound by something, anything in your life, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's, it doesn't matter. Addictions, long-term, short-term, life-altering, life-changing stuff, get free today. Don't give me an excuse. Don't give God an excuse of, well, just one more day. Well, God, if I could just, I'll just play with this a little longer. I'm telling you, what we learned as kids, when we play with fire, what happens? We get burned. So he had to get that yoke of bondage off. And then the second thing he had to do was he had to take care of the plow. Plow is representative here in the Bible of an engraving or a carving. It was an identifier. In other words, when the plow is going in the ground, it's engraving, it's carving, it's identifying the lines by which you are supposed to plant. And I want to tell you that there are many in this room today that are engraved and carved in identities that are not healthy. Somehow you've got something that's been placed on you sometime in your life that you've owned, that you are this type of person or that type of person, that you will never be this, that you will never be that, that, oh, that happened in their life and they'll just never recover. I've seen this. I know who they are. And you feel like, man, I can't ever get out of that engraving and that carving in my life. And I want to tell you that the first thing you need to do is get rid of that bondage. But secondly, take that plow of engraving and deal with it appropriately. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But if there's an identity that's placed on you, some sort of engravement that's been placed on you, maybe even by yourself, I'm a failure. I'll never measure up. I'll never make it. I'm not good enough for that job. I'm not good enough for that woman or that man. My kids will never love me the way that they love so-and-so. My family will never love me. Engravings, carvings that we put on side of ourselves. The last thing he had to do is he had to take care of the ox. And the ox is the ox of obedience. He had to be obedient because, see, there was something happened here. I want to tell you that that whether it's the yoke of bondage that comes inside of our life, you are not alone. Today, you are not alone. Whether it's the engraving that's happened inside of your life, today, you are not alone. Elisha was the same person. He was the 12th of the 12th. He had decided that his lot in life was that he was going to be the last guy on the last group of oxen and the one, last one carving. And he had grabbed that and become that. Even when the mantle came, why do you think we make excuses to the prophet of God or to the man of God? Why do we make excuses? We make excuses because we're afraid. We said, well, just hold on. Really what he was saying is, I need to go talk to mommy. Because we get fearful. Those things come and we got to do something different. And so as soon as Elijah looked at him and he said, dude, seriously, he really was saying this, be a man. I came and threw the mantle on you. What do you think? I'm just doing that because I just decided today for no reason I was going to walk by and just throw this mantle that represented God's glory and anointing. I'm just going to throw that on anybody. Do you not realize? Do you hear all of the things that Elijah was saying, even though he wasn't? Do you not realize that God's in this place and that He sent me here and He told me to do this? That's why He said, what have I done to you? You think this was my doing? That this was about you? This was never about you. It was never about me. It's about what God told me to do. He said, you're going to make these excuses if you're going to go kiss your mom and dad right now? When God showed up in this place and God wants you to go do His plan for your life, quit it. Get rid of your bondage. Whatever it is that's been holding you here, get rid of your engraving, that thing that you've identified yourself with, because I just threw the mantle of God on you. Now be obedient. What's he do? He takes the yoke, he takes the plow, and what's he do? He creates a bonfire. And listen, this is very important. Because he could have burned that entire ox on the fire as a sacrificial offering to God. He could have done that. He could have burned half of it as different kinds of offerings to God, and it would have been this thing about him. God, I'm getting rid of my sin. I'm burning my sacrifice. God, I'm coming before you as a sacrificial offering before you, and so I'm going to lay this half of this bull and I'm going to give it to other people and we're going to burn it on the altar, and then everybody's going to, and look at what's going to happen. No, this is what he did. He called in all his friends. Hey, everybody, come here. We've been plowing all day. You guys are hungry. Come here. Here's what you need to know. You see my yoke? You see my plow? It's burning. You see that ox that I used to plow these fields with? I want you to eat it. Because just like in 1546 when Cortez decided to scuttle his ships because he said there's a no option plan for you guys going back to Cuba. There's no way out of this deal. We're either going to conquer the Aztecs or we're going to die right here. Just like that happened in the same context, Elisha said, I'm telling all of you, eat my ox because I'm going to walk in obedience. I can't come back now. I've only got one. I don't even have a plow and a yoke anymore. And it says as soon as he did that, he walked away and followed. You know what? Jesus, if it had been Jesus, we don't know because that Jesus already was done with him, right? Elijah was done with him too, I'm telling you. He looked at him, what have I done to you? You're turning down the mantle of God? And Elisha said, oops. Here we go. No more bondage. No more fear. No more junk. No more excuses. I'm going to burn it all. It's going to be gone. I'm going to do it in front of all my friends and feed them all so they know exactly what they're eating so that they can understand I have burned my plow. And I'm done. I'm walking in obedience. I'm going to do what God called me to do because obedience is better than sacrifice. You are not alone. Faithfulness is a decision. Delaying is a decision. To be faithful and not delay both require obedience. You believe that? Today I'm asking you, church, if you have never grabbed onto something before, today, burn your plow. Just decide. I mean, how many bad years do you want? Can we not just say, God, to this year, all those things that consistently, the Bible tells us about these, right? That hinder us and keep us and entangle us and keep us from doing the things that you want me to do, whether they're just obstacles and hindrances and people that get in our way, or whether they're sins and addictions and junk that gets in our way, let's unyoke and say, I am not going to any longer be in bondage to myself. Be in bondage to sin, be in bondage to problems, be in bondage to those things that have kept me, whether it's emotional inside yourself. Man, some of you have been captivated by fear. You have been captured in a yoke of fear because you have never broken it off and just said, God, I am not going to operate in fear. I do not need to run to my mom anymore. You're ready to break it off and say, I'm done. For some, it's stuff, it's sin, it's junk that's tangled around your feet. And you keep wondering, why do I keep tripping up? Why can't I get anywhere in my life? Because God's trying to deal with you, folks. He's trying to deal with you inside your life and say, get it right, get it cleaned up. I can't use you until you're a vessel that's clean. And so we say, God, I'll never be clean. That's right. And that's why the righteousness of God has to be bestowed upon us. God, we receive, when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, Ephesians chapter 6, one of the armor pieces of armor of God, when we put that on, it's not our righteousness. The Bible tells us that. It's not our righteousness that we put on. It's the righteousness of God that we place on ourselves that becomes now His righteousness on us. That's awesome. Well, I'm never going to be good enough. I can't. That's right. But you know what? You can unyoke. You know what? You can take that plow that has engraved inside of you for so many years something that is not true. You know what I'm talking about. Say, I'm not going to receive that anymore in my life. The fact is, sometimes that engraving is actually true. And you can break that too. Sometimes we really are the 12th of the 12th and the least of the least and the last of the pack. Sometimes it's by our own decisions, as a matter of fact. You can break that too and say, God, I'm going to humble myself before you. I'm going to burn my plow. And now I'm going to start walking in obedience. Today's the day. If you want to be faithful, if you want to not delay what God's doing today, it's your opportunity. I know what's going through your mind right now, because the next few weeks won't be nearly this long. But I had to give this to you this morning. I've been speaking for almost 55 minutes. And even myself, sometimes you're gonna go, well, God, I'll deal with that maybe later in my life. I'll put it on a different list. It'll make my priority list sometime. I'm telling you, do not walk out of here today. It's 2012. It can all change. Is it worth going after? You put some things on your list. And I ask you this question. What are you willing to sow into those things to receive God's double portion in your life? You don't have to answer that question today, but with one answer. The next few weeks, you're going to have to give that a little more extensive answer. But today, you only have to give it one answer, and that is, I am willing to sow myself. I will give everything that I have of who I am to see God's best for my life, my family, my future, my finances, my church, my community. I will give everything of myself. And what does that mean? You cannot give everything and be in bondage. You cannot give everything and stay in the same identity that you've always had. You cannot give everything and not walk in obedience. God's calling you to it today. You can be free. This is not a supernatural encounter. Come to the altar, someone's going to miraculously lay their hands on you, and the chains will fly off, and you'll say, "Oh, thank God, I am finally free." God may do that in a few of you. And I'm excited for you, because you know what? You will be the first miracles of the double portion that will start today. It could happen. And I could sit here and tell you stories all morning of, in my own life and in the lives of others, of how at times God does what we're going to call favor, where we just said, "All right, God," and He miraculously, supernaturally does something that blows your mind, sets people free from addictions. I mean, you should not be able to be set free from years of drug addiction in a day, right? But I can show you and point you to people that have had that happen all over the place. Why? Favor. However, most of the time, it requires us to burn a plow, take a yoke off, and say, "God, I will do this. I'll be faithful. I'll be obedient. Now, let me respond." So, I'm going to let you respond. Would you stand with me? You'll notice that next couple of weeks, we're going to walk from Gilgal to Bethel, to Jericho, to the Jordan. And I'm telling you, you do not want to miss any of those weeks. And particularly, I'm going to tell you that, you know, after the Jordan comes the whirlwind, and you're not going to want to miss the whirlwind, because God's going to do something just pretty amazing that morning in our church. But this thing is about a journey, and it's about responding to Him when He's speaking to you. I want to tell you this morning, there is no requirement of you to do anything other than to say this: "God, here are the areas in my life that are not being effective for You. Here's the areas of my life that I'm blowing it in. Here's the areas of my life that I'm failing in. Here's the things inside of me that I feel that are on me that should not be there. And so I'm going to respond to You. I'm going to break off the yoke." How do you do it? You say, "God, break the yoke off of me. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be bound by anything. How do I get the engraving off of me?" Some of you feel like you're walking around with the, you know, the big A. You know what I'm talking about. But not necessarily an A. I mean, it could be one of those letters, any of those letters. You put your word in there, and you think everybody sees it. They might. But how about letting God just take it off? Burn your plow. No escape option. Scuttle the ship. We either take it or we die trying. I'm telling you, in 2012, I'm committed to either taking it or dying trying. Because I'm not going to settle for another year of mediocre. You with me? Let's pray right now. Father, I know this was long today, but God, I know that You wanted us to hear something very particular from heaven. And so, God, right now I'm asking for every person in this room who is even right now negotiating with themselves on delaying what You want to do in their life today, that they would not delay another moment. They would respond to Your voice. And God, for all of us who want to make an excuse about one more day or one more time, or maybe I'll do that tomorrow, or maybe I'll just, can I just have one more opportunity? Can I just go kiss my mommy? No more excuses. Today we want to be free. So God, as we in this place today break off bondages, we throw those to the side and say, "I will not be bound any longer." As we take off the engravings and the carvings, God, I will not be identified by who I believe I was, who people say I am anymore. I'm giving myself a no escape option. I'm burning my plow today, saying I will walk in obedience. God, we believe You for that in this room today. Now, would you just keep your heads bowed for a moment, your eyes closed? You put some things down on paper, or maybe you at least thought about some. You'd say, what am I willing to give to see a double portion come into my life in these areas? And today, I'm just asking you to give one thing, and it's a lot, yourself. God, I'm willing to be a faithful, no delay, obedient servant of God. If that's you today, can you do something? Whether it's come to the altar, sit down and write an agreement, turn around in your seat and create your own altar, sit down and hold the wife of your the hand of your wife or your husband and say, let's commit to this together. Whatever it is, can I ask you right now to respond to the voice of God and not delay one more second in what He wants to do with you? Come on now, let's burn our plows. Will you do that this morning? Come on, burn your plow right now. Be done with it. 2012 is a new year. Burn your plow. It's time to do it. Do this together. It's for your benefit. It's for the church. It's for your family. For our future. Take that yoke and throw it down on the ground. Say, God, I'm not going to be bound by this in my life anymore. God, I refuse to be bound by this in my life anymore. Say, well, it's embarrassing, Pastor. Maybe you need to purposely be a man or a woman and go find somebody and tell them, this is what I'm getting rid of in my life. Take authority over it. Take power over it. Secret is what keeps things powerful. When they're not in secret, they're powerless. Be wise. Tell somebody you trust. Bondage. God, I'm free of bondage. If you're struggling with fear this morning, just say, God, I'm casting out fear out of my life right now. Walking in unforgiveness. God, I am no longer going to walk in unforgiveness. I will forgive in Jesus' name. No more anger. No more resentment. Addictions. Come on, right now. Will you just break addictions off of you right now in the name of Jesus? Will you do that? I will no longer be addicted. Some of you are just like, I can't stop drinking coffee. You know what? Nothing should bind you. And if you're bound to that, then you say right now, I'm going to quit. Because I believe that it's binding me in my life. Okay. That doesn't mean everybody should stop drinking coffee, but if that's the problem for you, then do it. Maybe you've been smoking for years. Maybe you've been chewing for years, and you just say, God, I know I should stop doing this. Don't stop it because you think you should. Stop it because God's speaking to you, and then say, God, I'm not going to be bound anymore. Big one, folks. I know God's speaking to me to tell you this right now. If you have something that is an addiction in your life, we're not going to talk about what it is. It doesn't matter. It literally could be coffee, sugar, eating as easily as drugs or alcohol or whatever, pornography, anything. I'm telling you, at this moment, I believe that God is ready to supernaturally, with favor, deliver some people from that. But there is an if and then. You're going to have to be honest with yourself enough. Like I said, we're not going to call you out, but to be willing to come up here and get prayed for and just say, I'm just going to be honest. If you want to have that happen in your life, would you just come and join me up front? You're ready to be done with something. You're miserable enough. Let's just be done with it. No judging. This is anything that is binding you that you are ready to be done with. Can we get some people willing to pray who believe that they're ready to set some people, help people get set free from addictions, from life-controlling behaviors? Come on. Be honest. We can win if we're honest. Come on, I need some more ladies to come and pray. Man, especially if you've been set free from something. Listen, it can seem like the silliest thing to some people, but if it's meaningful and real to you, then let's be done. Whatever it is. Maybe you need to whisper and just confess that to the person around you. Maybe that will help you in bringing freedom. I'm not saying you have to, but it could bring about more freedom for you. Make sure you trust the person that you're telling if that's the case. Okay, God, right now, we're not only declaring addictions and life-controlling behaviors to be gone, we're breaking the yoke right now. Come on, will you just break that yoke right now off of you? Say, I am not going to be bound by anything any longer. I'm going to be set free by the power of God that's released. Now, God may require you just to walk it out and live it out every day, but I'm believing there are some, even right now, that He is going to give you favor in a way that's powerful, and it's going to be broken right now, supernaturally. And so I'm believing right now, God, from the power that's invested inside of us, from the Spirit of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us today. And so right now I'm believing that that favor, the miracle power of God, will transform lives, set free addictions. Bondages will be loosed right now in Jesus' name. Freedom will come. Come on, will you just say it to Him? Just say it. God, I am free right now in Jesus' name. I am free right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to do what it takes to be free. I'm going to take the right steps, and I'm going to be careful, and I'm going to set things in patterns in my life. But God, I'm declaring my freedom right now in the name of Jesus. I'm declaring freedom right now in Jesus' name. Really important that you follow through with the next thing. Come on, burn your plow right now. God, there's a no escape option for me right now. I've made a commitment to You today, and I'm not turning back from it. God, I made this commitment to You this morning, and I'm not going back. I'm not turning to the left or to the right. I'm not going to look back at this stuff in my life. I'm not going to turn back to my Egypt and say it was better there. God, right now I'm looking forward and saying there's no escape option. I'm burning my plow right now. Okay, this is part of the healing I was talking about earlier, that I know that God's got a spirit of healing right now. in this room. Now we're going to finish the rest. How many people have a non-physical need for healing today? You've got something going on in your life, either emotionally, some, or maybe just spiritually, I don't know. But you need healing for something. Scars that are there, emotional baggage that you carry around. It's about this engraving. Something's there in your life that you've been carrying around that you want to be rid of today. Healing can come right now. You've been told you're something. You've been looked at a certain way, whatever the case is. You need to come right here. Listen, I'm going as far back as there's some that were abused as children. There are some that you've walked through divorce. You know, just things in your life that you've just been labeled or scarred with that you're just tired of and ready to be over. We're going to believe God for a healing to happen. Something in your life that you just feel like I can't get rid of it. Healing's going to come. Now, if that's been you, if you've had that struggle in your life, I want you to come and pray over these up front. You say, I don't want to be bound any longer by a come on, we need prayer warriors over here. Where's my fired up on fire spirit-filled teenagers? Where are you at? You must be in the room somewhere. Maybe I lost you last week. Okay, here it is. God, we are no longer going to be bound by those things that have described us or depicted us. God, those labels that we've placed on ourselves or that have been placed on us by others that say that we're not good enough, we can't ever accomplish, we can't be who God's called us to be in our life, that there's been something, some scar in our past, something that's wounded our hearts so deeply we don't know how to recover. Right now, God, I'm praying for supernatural recovery healing in the name of Jesus. That engravement and that carving would be gone in Jesus' name. And it would be replaced right now with the blood of Jesus that says you are healed, you are delivered, you are set free. You are not the person you were any longer. You are new in Christ today. You have a new name. You have a new identity. Salvation is yours. You are a child of God, bought with a price. God paid the greatest price He could ever pay for you. He gave His Son. And Jesus gave the best price He could ever give for us, His life. So that we could live not in bondage or in fear, not under identities that are wrong, but under the banner of Jesus Christ, being led by the Spirit, His banner over us. Jehovah Nissi, He is our banner today. Come on, will you hold up that banner right now? Jehovah Nissi is my banner. My God who provides. My God who heals. My God who protects. Who restores. Come on, He is your kinsman redeemer. He redeems those things that have happened in our past and makes them as if they're new. Sexual abuse, fall off right now in Jesus' name. Physical abuse, fall off right now in Jesus' name. Divorcee, fall off right now in Jesus' name. failure, fall off right now in Jesus' name. You'll never measure up. Fall off right now in Jesus' name. You can't attain what's expected of you. Fall off right now in Jesus' name. Expectations of others, fall off right now in Jesus' name. You are not too fat, too short, too tall, too thin. You are created in the image of Christ. Outward signs of the inward man be gone right now in Jesus' name. Freedom. Come on, burn your plow right now. I won't be bound to that anymore. Will you just tell him right now, I won't be bound to that description anymore. I won't be bound to that emotional baggage anymore. I won't be bound to that label anymore. I won't be bound to that thing that's stuck with me for so long anymore. I am set free. Come on, will you tell him right now? I am set free. You say it in the affirmative, in the today, not in the past tense, in the today, the present. I am set free. Maybe you even need to say it in the future tense. I will be set free. I will continue to be set free. I'm not looking back anymore. Keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus. The author, that means he wrote the story about your life. And the perfecter, that means he ends it perfectly. He's writing it, he's wrote it, and he will end the story perfectly. You understand this is the starting point for a double portion. We have to start by just saying, God, I will be obedient. I will not delay. I'm going to be set free. I'm not going to walk in bondage. I'm not going to walk in junk anymore. I'm going to see who I am in Christ. I can't be like Elijah who just sits the 12th of the 12th thinking that no good's ever going to come from me. I will go a different direction. I will be set free in Jesus' name. I will receive the mantle. Come on, will you just take it right now? Grab onto that mantle and say, God, no escape clause. I'm burning my plow. I want the mantle. Those things you wrote down this morning on the paper, what am I willing to give? You just say to him right now, I will give my life. I will give my life. In Jesus' name.
No more shackles.
Come on, stand with us, those of you who are left and remaining. Come on, do this. You can look silly for a minute. You can shake them off.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free.
Come on, whatever has bound you.
No more shackles, no more chains. No more bondage, I am free. Yeah.
Come on, declare your freedom, church.
No,
I'm free today.
No,
in Jesus' name,
no,
I'm free today.
I am free.
Come on, somebody better be excited about now. We're getting free.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Will you say this with me? I'm a child of God, bought with a price. His banner over me is love. His name that He's given me, come on, say this, is a child of God.
He's a child of God.
You believe that? I'm a child of God, bought with a price. Set free by the blood of Christ that's available to me. And the Spirit of God set me free. Today you can go in the freedom of God. Church, burn the plow. Don't give yourself a second chance option. Well, there's always a plan B. No, there's not. In the kingdom of God, there's plan A. And the end of plan A is we're raptured or we're dead. Plan B does not work in the kingdom of God. So plan A is we're going to live as children of the King, blessed, healed, delivered, transformed, set free. And I'm telling you, this next 6 weeks is going to be life-changing. As we see God's hand, here's what I got to encourage you to do. If you experience a miracle hand of God in the slightest way, whether it's even once you walk out the door, maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow, will you please tell somebody and call the office, email us, do something. Let's just start testifying of the goodness of God. You know why? Because Revelation tells us this, that we overcome the things of this world, the enemy of this world, by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. We don't need to give the blood of the Lamb anymore. It's already been shed. Jesus shed His blood for us on the cross. So what does that leave? The word of our testimony. So it's really important that we can overcome together by the word of our testimony this year. And you're going to start to see miracles already. Some of you, I mean, you prayed this morning that addictions would fall off. Some of you are going to go home and you're going to go, what happened? I don't want this thing. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to. What happened? Here's the thing. When that happens in our life, when the miracle happens in our life, we have to glorify God. If you give your glory to yourself, boy, aren't I a disciplined person? Then we lose it. But when we give glory to God and say, man, He just took away this thing. He took away this desire. He took away this feeling. When we glorify God in it, not only to Him, but to others around us, power comes. That's where we overcome the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Father, take us today. We believe You for great things. Take our church in a powerful direction this year. 2012 would be the best year any of us have ever experienced. God, we're going to look back in 2013 at this year. You could come back anytime, by the way. And if we get to 2013 and You come back or have not come back, we're going to say, that was the greatest year I have ever experienced in my life. We believe You for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Have a great day.